Well, good morning. My name is Tom Eggum, founder and Hope, president of Hope for Kids International, a ministry you've partnered with. It's my first time back since moving to Oklahoma. We've been there a year and a half and love it. Lots of great stuff on our ranch, as I'll show you a picture in a minute. But I'm trying to make the most of the weekend. I flew in on Friday, went to the Nationals game, did the Walk for Water here, drove down to Southern Maryland where we used to live and had my stuffed crab mushrooms. The crab is not that good in Oklahoma, but just to tell you. And I had crab cakes, and oh, it's been great. Last night, today, so great to be back. And this was our home church, and we love it so much and miss it. And somebody said to me today, you're still family here, and that really meant a lot to me because many of us have traveled together throughout the world, especially into Uganda. Many of you have sponsored children with our ministry. You've partnered in so many ways, and I know there's always people that have not heard of Hope for Kids, and I just want to take a couple moments here to tell you a little bit about us. Started in 1973, so this is my 46th year, and I'm still going. And I'm telling you, for you that don't know my history, I was almost out of here a while back, and God's hand of favor was on me, and it was really because of many of you praying here and the African friends that prayed for me through a real difficult time of cancer, and I am feeling so good and so strong. And if you're on Facebook with me, you see me out there with the horses and the cattle and the donkeys and the mini donkeys and my dog, and life is good. Life is good, I'm telling you. Be in the Philippines next month, so every day I just thank God. Thanks for today. Let's do it, you know. So Hope for Kids International is our ministry. I'll tell you a little bit about my family. I have three older kids that are not in these pictures and their families, and it'd take me all day to tell you how awesome they are. But my family lives still with me. My son Grant is the tall guy there. He's 18, just graduated from high school a year early, and is taking up aviation. He's a student pilot. He just did his cross country, his night flights, and in January he'll be going to North Dakota University for their aviation school in Mesa, Arizona. That makes sense. But anyway, real proud of him. And then my wife, Sarah, many of you know her, and she's been studying for the last few years to get her master's in data analytics and got it from the University of Maryland, Maryland College, and top of her class. Her professor selected her for a competition, which she won at the university. Then she went to the internationals with two friends of hers. They competed for the top 10, with the top 10 from all over the world. She won. Oh my, it's hard to live with her. So she's a champion. We call her the world champion. When you're world champion for IBM data analytics contest, you're something else. So she put a resume out, and tomorrow she actually starts working for a company with the FAA in Oklahoma City. So, and lots of invites to come back here to Washington, so keep tuned. But anyway, we love where we are and all of that. And then our daughter, Sophia, when she was 12 and we lived here, many of you prayed for her. She went through a serious time of brain surgery, and that girl has come through this. She wears that scar that's from here down to here, pulls her hair back, her friends see it. I mean, it made her so strong. I almost told a story about her, but I'd have cried. I don't want you to see that side of me. Anyway, she was on this pretty strong drug the last few years, and her doctor in Oklahoma City weaned her off it, and in May she got off the drug, completely free, no more seizures. So we rewarded her by taking her to Uganda with me in June, and she was a rock star there, loves it, has a passion. I think she might be the future president of Hope for Kids International. She really has it. So, oh, on the right, how did I forget? My mini donkeys. They're the star of our ranch. And as you can see, they want to come in our house. And that's usually when I'm gone, because they're in a pasture with the cattle and horses and everybody else. But when I'm gone, they get let into the yard. And then people on Facebook are cheering, let them in, let them in. Okay, but anyway, the reason we have donkeys is if you know ranching at all, they protect your cattle and calves and small animals from coyotes because we have lots of those. And they kick them and they don't do it again. So anyway, it's a lot of fun. I grew up in a farming community, and now to be back on the ranch and traveling weekends and leading teams and coming back to my ranch is really fun. So we're loving Oklahoma. I can't say enough about it. Hope for Kids International, this is our mission statement, and those of you who've traveled with us have seen it in reality, to restore hope around the world by empowering kids to break the cycle of extreme poverty through four principles. And those principles are dignity, health, joy, and love. And if it fits one of those four, we do it. Dignity could mean restoring the teeth of a single woman that wants to get a job, of providing clothing, of fixing up buildings, of doing whatever we can to bring dignity. We have a program that many of you are part of, the Sponsor a Widow. It gives them the dignity to be trained and have their own business and supply their own kids with school fees. I mean, it just goes on and on. Health is a big deal. We walked for water yesterday. I appreciate your efforts in that and all that's going on there. In fact, I think our total is about, we want to raise $21,000, and I think our total is about $11,500 right now. And if you'd like to continue, even though you couldn't walk with us or didn't have time or whatever, if you'd like to make a donation toward getting that second village there well, there's a bucket at our table out there, or you can go in the bookstore and you can use a credit card to make a huge donation there. That's what they told me to say. That worked. Somebody did it last hour, so let's do it. I'd love to see that whole amount reach there. But health is such an important thing. We do medical clinics and medical outreaches. And then joy. One of my favorite things, do this big soccer tournament every year over there, Hope for Kids Cup. And the joy you hear, kids laughing and stuff. A lot of these kids have suffered greatly, and I love to hear children laugh. And that's a big part of what we do. And then the foundation of everything we do is love. And that is that we want to proclaim the reason we do this, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later, is because of what Jesus Christ has shown us in his love. So that's the foundation of everything. We don't just travel to Uganda, even though many people here have been to Uganda with us. Next month we're in the Philippines. We go there twice a year. We go to Cuba. We go to Guatemala. We go to Mexico. We go to Romania. And if you're interested in traveling with us, any of those destinations, there's some information sheets out there on the table. You can grab one and look at what it would take to go with us. But those are the places we're focusing on right now. Safe water is something that has moved my heart quite a number of years ago when I saw so many kids dying of waterborne diseases. They tell us about 84% of the deaths of children in Uganda, especially the area in which we're working, is from waterborne diseases. So I had the Minister of Health tell me when we dedicated a hospital that we had built, he said, focus on the water. Try to get the wells going. And so for 11 years, as you can see here, we've been drilling deep water wells. And the number in July, at least, was 581. I know it's over that now. It's almost 600. But that provides thousands, hundreds of thousands of people with safe water. When we talk about safe water, it's not just that the water's safe to drink, but it's safe for the girls in their culture that go get water, that they don't have to travel up to the distance we walked yesterday, 2 or 3 miles to find it and find abuse along the way and that sort of thing. I mean, it's tragic stories of some of our young girls, how they've been abused. And so we want to stop that. And if we sponsor a child and we educate them, we want them to not have to spend that time getting water, but they will truly be able to be educated. And so that's a big deal. So thank you for participating in the Walk for Water yesterday. And I even saw Jenny Herzog out there. So that's really something. And it was early in the morning. You'll get your chance. Child sponsorship is something that they say on the slide here, I think it says there's 150 children sponsored through Hope, but New Hope, but it's way more than that. But thank you for doing that. And if you want to do something that truly transforms a life, $1 a day, $1 a day, $31 a month, we've got profiles of kids out there. I wish they would all be gone after this service because they're waiting to be sponsored. And they will do anything When they come and beg from you, it's not for something else besides school fees. They want to study. And so we believe that's what breaks the cycle. So that dollar a day brings quality education, brings health care, nutritious meals, emotional guidance, and the love of Jesus. It is a life transformer. We got so many stories that tell that story of how education is the key. People are overwhelmed by poverty, and that's where I've spent most of my life. And my greatest encouragement would be if we can educate their children, we're going to break that cycle. And we've been doing it long enough to see the impact it has. The kids that have gone through our program, and we're different than a lot of sponsorship programs. We don't cut them off at a certain age. We stay with them as long as they want to study. So we're graduating kids from medical school and law school and teacher school, and they're teaching them in vocational areas. So we're seeing some amazing stories out there and successes. So if you could sponsor one more child, and give up a $31 a month, it will change their life. And then part of the fun part of doing all this is that we not only see their lives transform, but we're there to be with them, to help them through their medical. And we've got systems set up now where they can get, we're doing medical checkups, make sure they're doing okay, and providing whatever that takes. And sometimes it takes a lot, but we're providing that. Medical outreach is a big part of our mission trips. We have a doctor. This is Dr. Amy. She'll be with me next month in the Philippines. We do remote medical outreaches, and we've built medical clinics, and that's a big deal. So if you're in the medical field or are interested in that, that's a great thing to be a part of. And then something that's really exploding right now in our ministry is Adopt a Village. Quite a number of years ago, how many years ago did you sponsor Bonanza? It's been over five. Something like that. Time just flies. But anyway, you sponsor the village. What we do is we build a church, build a pastor's house, we build a latrine, we build a medical clinic, we drill a well, and try to transform it. Some of those now have grown to a place where we've got incredible schools we're building in those remote areas, so kids in the most remote places can have a quality education. And anyway, there's just too much to tell about that. It's an awesome transformation thing. And something that really ties in well here with New Hope, you are the champions. You're like the United States champion of Feed My Starving Children. And they say that. You've packed more meals than any church and organization in the country. And I love that. When we lived here, we participated in it. Yeah. And some of their leadership was in our office in Arizona last week and told us that we're at their top level of partnerships. We feel like we have an A-plus with them. They provide as much food as we want. So we take food into Uganda twice a year, 2 40-foot containers. All we have to do is raise the money for the container and the shipping into Guatemala, into the Philippines. So we're a good partner there. So I have nothing but yay for you guys that are a part of that, because I mean these are some of the boxes you've seen, you know, and that's in our ministry center there at Smile Africa. So thank you for doing that. One of the reasons that we're on their A plus is that for 2 years in a row we've won the 4-star charity, which is difficult to get. They say only the top 13% of the 501c3s in the U.S. get the 4-star. And we've got it 2 years in a row. So we're very blessed that our finances go a long way, and we do whatever we can to make sure we have financial accountability. And then the trust comes and all of that, and that's why. Everything we do, we want to make sure there's a biblical reason for doing it. And our foundational statement and our motivation to give nutritious meals to kids, and I would encourage you in your packing of meals, here it is. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be filled and be warmed, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That's a very powerful scripture that challenges us and motivates us to do all that we can. I'm going to invite Jenny up here because this is a little section of my thing that we want to say formally. We want to say thank you. And last night, Rusty was here, but he kind of has the thought that I do that since Jenny's brother runs the church, why not let Jenny do it? Jenny is our champion. I'm telling you, she's the one that found us in 2010. And has inspired so many people, not just in this church, but around the country and around the world. And she's one of our ambassadors, so it's an honor to give it to you. But it's not just for you. It's for everybody. Okay, I'll will share you share it with Carol Ann and some of the others? Huh? Justin, Becca, okay. Hope for Kids International, honoring New Hope. On behalf of Hope for Kids International and the families we serve, we thank you for your blessed partnership. Love and generosity in restoring hope around the world. And I love the scripture. It says, I never stop thanking God for you and recommending you in my prayers, Ephesians 1:16. May the Lord bless you and smile upon you always for all that you do for God's people. Aww. So there. Thank you. Love you, girl. Here's a few pictures of New Hope traveling with us, and there you are, yeah. And one of the highlights for me is when you sponsor a child, you get to write to that child, and our deal is one child, one sponsor. So when you come with us, you get to meet that sponsor. This was sponsorship day. It was so cool. Our staff has grown so much over there. We have way more staff in Uganda than we have in Arizona, our headquarters, which I love. And a chance for you to spend the day, play soccer or give gifts and play games and toys and all kinds of stuff. That's one of my fun deals because I love seeing people interact with that. And then finally, I didn't brag about this the first time, but that's my hand. Yeah, I'm a hand model. Who knew? Now you do. Hate to brag, but. Anyway, great weekend, fun being here with you. Oh, I've got to say something about the Packers. Last weekend, I was in Madison, Wisconsin, and I, you know, was able to say I'm a Packer fan. Back in the 70s, I got to know a backfield coach named Bob Lord from the Packers, and he gave me all the free stuff, so I became a Packer fan. And then later in the 80s, I started speaking at their chapels and stuff, so I'm a Packer fan. I know it's a little bit dangerous, but since Oren Burks is connected here, I figured it was safe to say that in Skins Country. So because I do have my Redskins cap too, but nobody gave me free stuff. So... Anyway, I love being here. I'm sorry, I'm just a little loose right now. Pastor Rusty, to me, is one of my heroes. One of the reasons your church impacts locally as well as internationally, and let me just say, there's some great stuff going on in the lobby today. Take your time, look at those ministries reaching out to women and families in the area here, as well as our ministry, and that's not a surprise, because I know your pastor, and I know his heart, and I've traveled with him to Uganda, and I know that if the senior pastor has a heart for what you do, it really puts a seal of approval or whatever, but he leads by example, and so I can't say enough about Pastor Rusty. When we were talking the last couple weeks over texting and emailing, he introduced me to the theme, What in the World, and how do we as followers of Jesus respond when we see poverty and those suffering injustices. And that's kind of been my life the last 46 years. As I said a couple of minutes ago, everything we do has to have a foundation in God's Word. That's how I know we're still on target 45 years later, 46 years later. We're still on target because we're using God's word as our guide. And I believe that's true with our life. If we have that as a foundation. Now, I want to start with a scripture that's kind of a unique scripture maybe for starting out here, but it's very important we get this. And that scripture is found in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. And if you've got the little sheet that you can fill in the blanks, when my wife and I attended here, we used to have a little competition, you know, guessing ahead of time what it was, and she usually won. But anyway, she's data analytics champion, so anyway, she's good. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, get this, this is the gospel. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. I love that. We've all been created differently. We're all from different backgrounds. We have different gifts, different strengths, different weaknesses, different stumblings, different mistakes. God's handiwork. And we've got to realize that. Okay, God, you love me as I am. And he does. That's why almost every morning I start my prayer by saying, loving God. Because I know he is. I've experienced it. I know he's a loving God. I say, thank you for your mercy and your grace and for the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And then I say, that's all I have. I don't have anything to stand on. And I say, thank you for another day to serve you. It puts it in perspective. It reminds me, I need him every moment. That my salvation has nothing to do with anything I've ever done, anything I could do. I can never improve my stand with God except through what I've just said. And then it says, you are his handiwork. And then it says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. There's our purpose. And what does that mean? It means responding to injustices. It means responding to people in need, responding to people who are hurting, responding to those who come across our path. And it says, which God prepared in advance for us. So it's like, what? God has prepared this life for this purpose, and he's going to bring people across my path for his purpose. Way back in 1971, when I was first starting to speak, I spoke at a youth gathering in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A co-speaker was a lady named Corrie Ten Boom, the author of The Hiding Place. If you remember that book, she had suffered in concentration camps. Was an amazing, amazing story. And the best example of forgiving people that didn't deserve it. She was awesome to talk about forgiveness. I read all of her books. I kept every word in my heart. I wanted to be like that. I got to meet her in the green room underneath the stage before I spoke, and I said, Miss Ten Boom, I just got back from Russia. I smuggled Bibles into the Soviet Union. And I said, I'm thinking of going into ministry. What advice can you give me? And she said something which I retain to this day. She said, God never allows anyone to come across your path that he does not intend to do something in your life into theirs, or their life into yours. Smuggling Bibles into Vietnam and China and Cuba and Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union and other crazy places, you couldn't call ahead and say, I'm bringing some Bibles that are illegal. You had to be trusting. And I've got story after story of how God brought our contact to us through prayer. I had a family that I met in the Soviet Union way back in 1971 that said, we knew you were coming because my papa was in prayer and God told him two American boys will bring bread. The key word for Bibles. And I'm like, how did you know? She said, the Spirit of Christ in us will witness the Spirit of Christ in you. Yeah, I had lots of faith. Compared to that, I felt so small. I thought I had this faith to do this, and here I was going to be challenged beyond words to describe what it means to really know you have a purpose, to really know that God leads you. I've tried to live that way, and I've got so many stories to tell you about how God brought somebody across our path. I think Jenny's one of those, that if we wouldn't have met Jenny, I wouldn't know New Hope. I wouldn't know all my dear, dear friends here. It's God's purpose. A number of months ago, I was speaking in Windom, Minnesota, and I shared some similar stories, and I was talking about how God brings people across our path, and sometimes you'll miss it. And I'm telling a story about I'm in Romania. I'm with our team, and I have talked to them that morning. I said, God will bring somebody across your path right on time. So the next person you meet, God intends for you to influence their life, for them to influence yours. So we go headed to our workplace, and we're walking down the street in Oradea, Romania, and I'm walking with this medical doctor, Romanian medical doctor, and I see this kid coming toward me. Now, there's a lot of street gypsies, and they're usually there to steal from you and come after you and that sort of thing. So I see this street gypsy coming toward me, and I'm thinking, oh no, I don't want it to be him. So I'm kind of turning away, but sure enough, he came up to us, and he was speaking with Dr. Adrian, and I said, what does he want? You know, kind of, I had a bad attitude that this couldn't be the kid. Dr. Adrian said, he's taking care of some children under the bridge and wants to know, do you have any pasta or cooking oil or something they can have for food? And I'm like, I felt awful because I had just missed what God wanted to show me. I still, because I'm very skeptical by nature, I said, show me. So we went to that bridge on the Rati River there and saw those children sitting down there, and I was broken. And I don't remember how much we bought for them, but a lot. So a few months ago, I'm in Windom, Minnesota, telling that story. And I said, now, God wants to do that to us here in America, too. So I said, when we leave this place, look for who God's going to bring across your path. I drive to Minneapolis, about 2 hours away. I stop at the Holiday gas station. I'm filling my rental car full of gas before I drop it off at the airport. And I hear this voice, and it's like the voice of a young gypsy, Romanian gypsy girl, Roma girl. And I turn and look, and here's this Romanian girl dressed in the jewelry that they customarily wear, and I just could not believe my eyes. And she said, sir, I have 3 children in my car, and someone stole my wallet, and I wonder if you could give me some gas money so I can continue my journey. And, you know, right away I'm going, yeah, show me the kids. And there they were. I saw the 3 kids in the car. And again, I tell you, sometimes I'm so hardened. I almost missed it. So I said, yes, ma'am, I'll fill your car up. And I filled it up. I got on the phone. My sister Rachel, some of you know her, had been at that church service and heard me say this. And I said, Rachel, you won't believe what just happened. I'm at the gas station. A gypsy girl comes up to me and asks me to help her. I've never seen a gypsy girl in Minneapolis before. I know they say we entertain angels unaware, and I think she drove away. I don't know. I didn't see her drive, but what? See, God is more interested in letting his love reach people who are hurting or need than we are in letting him do it through us. So this excites me that we've got a purpose, that we've got all of this, and we can get caught up in the gospel. We can think about how wonderful the gospel is, and it is awesome. I talked to a gentleman out at the CR, out at the booth. I loved his line. He said, Jesus changed our life, and we can't shut up about it. I love that, because that's what we're talking about. See, I've always said, caring for the poor is not a duty or a must to be a good Christian. It's an outflow of the gospel. He's shown mercy, we show mercy. He's shown his love, we show his love. He laid down his life. Wow, I don't know about that one, but we could lay down our life. No greater love is a person that would lay down her life. So this is our purpose. We become the answer to their prayer. Yesterday, when Jenny was leading us on the walk for water, she told a story about how people pray for water. I have seen that many times. We come to these remote villages. See, in eastern Uganda, especially in eastern Africa and Uganda, most people have heard about Jesus Christ. Most have heard the gospel because they preach all the time. You know, in the villages, on the radio, on the television. It's a very Christian nation in a lot of ways. So it isn't that they haven't heard. And I learned that early on. You can talk and talk and talk, but there's a lot of things you could simply do that'll do way more than talk or talking. And so when we come to these villages and bring a new source of water, a new well, the people are cheering and celebrating and giving you goats and chickens, and we even got a cow last summer. Yeah. They're giving you everything they have. They're so filled with joy. Oftentimes I hear them say, now we know God loves us. Because put yourself in that place. How would it be if we lived in that village and my children were dying? 52% of them died before their fifth birthday because of waterborne diseases, because of cholera. You're saying, loving God? Why doesn't he give us a well? Why is he making my kids drink out of this? And that's why I appeal on the behalf of the poorest of the poor. There's a desperate need out there. And I tell them, I tell about it every weekend. I tell about wherever I can go. And the miracle is that they're praying, and they tell us, they've all prayed. And somehow God speaks to somebody here in another part of the world to respond. And they receive that answer to their prayer. See, I see that as our purpose, that we are the answer to their prayer. I've had a politician interrupt one of our ceremonies there and try to take credit for bringing the water. And an old elder stands up and says, shut up and sit down. You didn't bring us this water. God did. And see, they know God did. And we see many people coming to Christ. In fact, you know what we've started doing? We have baptisms at the well dedications now. I mean, so many people come to Christ because now they feel love. So how many people do we encounter that don't really know God's love? Well, my takeaway, the gospel is awesome. And I'm going to start using that guy's line. I love that. And I just can't shut up. The overflow of the good news is that we have been privileged to be his hands and feet, bringing his love to the world. Are we together on this? Is this awesome? So let's be expectant of what God's going to do through us. And he will use you in incredible ways that we haven't even begun to think about. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the gospel. It's so incredible. Thank you for the good news that as ordinary sinful people, you have provided a way that we might be forgiven, that we might be yours, and then the privilege to be your hands and feet. Thank you. Now we ask that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak to us about how you want to flow through us to those in need. In Jesus' name.